The ninth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, harking back to a concept that we learned about in the fourth parak, Mishnah Zayin, discussing the tumah of Ochlin, that food can become tame, and also the tumah of Nevelos, which we will explain shortly. So Mishnah Aleph needs a little bit of background. When we have food can become tame, for example, if it touches a rodent, and that food in turn can be metame something else. However, that is only the case that it can be metame something else if it is the size of a kibetza, approximately the size of an egg. So in order for food that becomes tame to transfer that tuma to something else, to another food, that has to be the size of a kibetza or more. And what we're going to discuss at the beginning of this Mishnah is what is necessary to make up that volume of a kibetza such that if it becomes tame, you can transfer that tuma onto another food. And meat, for example, could do that. If you have a kibetz of meat and that meat touches a rodent, and then so that kibetz becomes tame, accordingly, because it is food that has become tame, it can transfer that tuma to something else. But what happens if we don't have a full kibetz of meat? We have some of a kibetz of meat, but some of it is made up of other parts of the animal. So that's what we're going to talk about. Which are the parts that will combine together, which will meet starif together to make a kibetza such that the tumah can be transferred. So Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Ha'or, the skin, he had a shechit of an animal, the skin was taken off. Ha'rotev, that is the gravy that has congealed from it, that came out of the meat. Ha'kipah, those are spices that are not eaten alone. You just needed to spice up the meat a little bit. So we're going to combine the shiurim with the spices. If we didn't have the spices, we would not have a kibetza. But now the spices added together with the meat, we do have a kibetza. V'ha'alal. These are little shreds of meat that are stuck to the skin after the skin was removed, after the animal was skinned. V'atzamos. This is talking about bones, but not regular bones. We're talking about bones that have marrow in them. So they would combine together in order to make a kibetza. V'hagidim. These are sinews that are typically not eaten by themselves. So if it is together with the meat, we would combine it to make a kibetza. V'hakarnayim. These are the horns. We're not talking about all the horns. We're talking about the part of the horn that's closer to the body of the animal, so that was softer, so that would combine with the meat. And the hooves, similarly, v'hatlafayim, the hooves, when they are soft, so that is a specific area of the hoof closer to the flesh of the animal itself, so that's going to combine together. All of these mitzarfin litame tumas ochalin. All of these will combine together, that if you have some meat, the meat can combine with all these items to make together the amount of a kibetza, such that if that kibetza becomes tame, it becomes contaminated, it can transfer that tuma to other foods. However, despite the fact for tumas ochlin, that's what we're talking about, to be metame other foods, these items will combine together, the rotav, etc., will combine with meat in order to make up the kibetza. However, that is not the case of Allah tumas nevelos. When it comes to the tumah and nevela. Nevela is an animal that did not have a kosher shechita. So a nevela is metame as well. It can cause the transfers of tumah. For a nevela, we need the minimum amount of a kazayis. A kazayis meaning approximately the size of an olive. Now, if we only have less than a kazayis of meat, can we combine it with all this list that we just had of other items in order to make up the kazayis, in order for it to transfer the tuma nevela to something else? So the Mishnah is telling us, no, it will not combine for the purposes of the kazayis of a nevela. So we would have only meat. If we have meat from a nevela and it's the size of a kazayis, it will transfer. But if it's less than a kazayis, we're not going to combine it with any of these other items listed here in order to transfer the tuma from a nevela. So a nevela has to come only from the meat of the nevela, but not in addition with all of these other items added in. Similarly, a very similar halacha, kiyotze ba, where we are going to see that we are stricter when it comes to the tumah of ochlim, that we are going to be more expansive. There is going to be tumas ochlim where we are going to be lenient when it comes to the tumah of nevelos, as follows, kiyotze ba hashochet behema temeya lenochri. If somebody, a Jew, we're talking about a Jew that does a shechita, he did a shechita on a non-kosher animal, so the Jew can't eat this animal, and the animal is umefarkesis. The animal is still twitching. It's still moving around, thrashing about. So it is considered for purposes of the Jew to be somewhat dead. You know, the Jew can't eat it, but it's a shechita was done on it. So for purposes of our halachas, it's considered food. But on the other hand, the non-Jew is not permitted to eat it yet because it's still twitching and it's still moving about. So if you would take meat from it, that is over the Isser, violating the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChai, eating meat from a live animal, and a non-Jew is obligated in that mitzvah. He's chayav, for that to be an avera, one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, if he would eat the Eiver Min HaChai. So because this animal has not come still, it's not still yet, it's still moving around, it would be Eiver Min HaChai. So accordingly, once the Shechita is done, the Jew did the Shechita, it's considered food for our purposes, for purposes of Tumah, but for the non-Jew, it's considered not food yet, he can't eat it yet, Eiver Min HaChai. This too, Mitameh Tumas Ochalin, this is going to be Mitameh Tumas Ochalin, and we said before that it is going to transfer Tumah, because it's food for, it's a ochel for purposes. Now that it has a kosher shechit on it, it's considered an ochel for purposes of transferring tuma. On the other hand, avalo tumas nevelos, it's not going to be considered tame for purposes of a nevela because it's still moving. So for purposes of nevela, it's still considered to be alive. That's going to be a case that it's not going to kick in the tomb of Nevelos Achitamut, which means until it dies, which means until it stops thrashing around and twitching and moving all around, until that kicks in. So once it is fully dead, then it's going to be considered a Nevela and it's going to be transferred to Mas Nevelos. O Achi Atisas Rosho, another possibility, even if it's thrashing around, but if the full head was cut off, which means that the person doing the Shechita cut through not only the majority of the two pipes, the food pipe and the wind pipe, but also cut through the neck bone was severed. In that situation, this animal is going to be transferring to the tumah of a nevela as well. And now the Mishnah says we have two halachas right now, two halachas that we saw that we are stricter when it comes to the tumas ochlin relative to the tumas of nevela. So based on that, the Mishnah says riba letame tumas ochlin nimashi riba letame tumas nevela. So we see here that the Torah is more expansive when it comes to the tumah of ochlim, because we see many situations that we're going to mitame, that something is going to have the tumah of ochlim to transfer the tumah to other foods, then the Torah gave the expansiveness of the tumah of nevela. So in other words, there are situations we're going to have the tumah of ochlim, and it's not going to be mitame Tumas Nevelos, as we just saw in the two aforementioned examples. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say when it comes to the alal, we mentioned the alal at the beginning of this Mishnah, which was those shreds of meat that are still attached to the skin. And we said that those are going to be mitzaref together with meat in order to be mitamas oalim. But we said in of itself, that's not significant enough that it's going to be considered meat that by itself, that if it has a kibetza, it's going to be metame tumas ochlim. That's not the case in the ratio. But now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us, Rabbi Yehuda omer ha'alal ha'mechunas, that if somebody went and mechunas means collected, somebody went and took these little shreds that were not significant in of themselves, but he went and he collected them together. And now he has the kibetza necessary for tumas ochlim. That would be significant. And in addition, now how about tumas nevelos? So im yesh bo kezayis b'makom echad chayav alav. If you have a kezayis altogether in one place, so now we're talking about the tumas nevelos, because the person made it significant, he collected that and he has the requisite amount of a kezayis, accordingly, b'makom echad chayav alav, it is going to transfer tumas nevelos. So if somebody touched it, he's going to have a tumah. And what's the ramification of that? It's not an ishtar to become tame, but if he went into the Beis HaMikdash or if he ate a korban when he's tame, he's going to be chayav, he's going to be liable. He's going to be violating an ishtar in the Torah. So that's the ramification of that. So despite the fact that in the ratio of the Mishnah, we talked about the alal, these stricts, these little strands of meat attached to the skin, they were not significant, so it could only be mitzaref together, add together with the meat, it wasn't significant in and of itself. But here we see in the Reisha that when somebody clucks it together, it does become significant, and if you have a kazayas of them, it will be metame tumas nevelos. In Mishnah Beis, we are actually going to qualify something that we saw in Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Aleph started out by saying that when you have only a combination of meat and ore that is of skin of the animal, that will combine together in order to make the requisite amount. If it's a kebetza, in order to be metame ochlim, and a kazayis to be metame tumas nevelos. So we said there, in other words, that the ore itself, the skin itself, cannot independently transfer those tumas. It has to be only together with the meat. But what we're going to talk about now is certain types of skin, certain types of ore, that by itself it will be able to be metame other things, either tumas ochlim or tumas nevelos. And the concept here, certain types of the skins are soft enough that they are going to be considered the meat in of itself. And accordingly, if you have that requisite amount, a kazayis or kebetza, it's going to be able to transfer the tumas. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, Eilu she'oroseim kibsaran. These are the types of skins that are going to be treated as if it is the meat itself, and it is going to be bentame tumas ochlim or tumas nevelos. And this is the laundry list that we have. Or ha'adam, the skin of a person, soft enough, it is going to transfer tuma as long as you have the requisite amount. Or chazir shel yishuv, and also the skin of a pig that is domesticated. So it's the skin has not gotten hard, but if it's not domesticated, it lives out in the wilderness, it lives out of town, and it fends for itself, then its skin is going to be tough, so it's not going to be treated like meat, and it will not be metame. Rabbi Yossi Omer af or chazir abar. Rabbi Yossi is of the view that even a non-domesticated pig, its skin is going to be soft enough that it's going to be treated like meat, and it will be metame. For or chatoteres shel gamal haraka, and the skin of the hump of an animal that is literally soft, means an animal that hasn't worked, that hasn't carried loads on it, talking specifically about a camel, so the skin on its hump is fairly soft, so as long as it's soft, the skin is going to be treated like meat for purposes of being metame, tumas ochlin and tumas nevelos. And continuing, v'or harosh al egal arach, the same thing applies to the skin on the head of a calf that is soft, a young calf that is still tender, so that also will be like the basar, the meat, v'or haprasos, and this is the skin that is above the hooves. It's not on the hooves themselves, but right above the hooves or part of the leg. It's going to be fairly soft, so that is going to be treated like meat as well. Or base haboshes, talking about a female animal. The skin around the private parts is going to be fairly soft, so that is going to be treated like meat as well. Va'or hashalil, this is the meat of a fetus. Va'or shetachas ha'aliyah, and the skin that is underneath the tail of the animal, so that is a soft area as well. And in addition, va'or, and we're going to list out four items here, four different animals. It's not 100% clear in our Masorah the exact explanations of it, but this is based on some of the explanations. And what these are there are actually eight shrutzim that are listed out in Vayikra Yud Aleph, the various creepy crawly creatures. So there are eight of them listed. And on the list of those eight, we're going to have four of them now. So the or of the anaka, the hedgehog, vakoach, a chameleon, halita'a, the lizard, Bachomet, the snail, the ore, their skin is fairly soft, so it's going to be treated like meat. So if you have the requisite amount of it, it is going to be transferring tuma as well. So it's four of the eight, according to the Tana Kamba. We'll have a machlokas on this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, haleta'a kacholda, the leta'a that we just mentioned just now, that we are going to treat its skin like its meat, and it's going to be able to transfer. That's going to be in that category. So we had four out of the eight listed. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to move the leta'a, the lizard, from the list that we had, and we're going to put it with the list of the others. Included in the other four is the chulda, the weasel. It's not only just like the chulda, the Rabbi Yehuda is saying, is we're going to move the leta'a to be like all of the other four. So it's going to be three and five, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we are going to treat the anaka, the koach, and the chomet together, and their skin is going to be treated like meat and be able to be metame. However, the leta'a is going to be treated like the chulda and the rest, So we're going to have a total of five that we are going to treat their ore not like the basar, so the ore itself will not be able to be metame, unless it is combined with basar to have either a kazayas or kibetza, depending on which type of tumor we're talking about. The kulan she'ibda. Now we have talking about everything that we listed in this reisha. Everything that we listed in the reisha, we said this whole laundry list of skins that if they are soft, that they fit into these requirements that we listed, then they are going to be treated like meat and they're going to be metame. That is at the beginning. However, chulan she'ibdan, once we work them into leather, somebody worked them, now they're leather, so they're hard. Or not only if it was worked the full way into the leather, but people left it on the ground and had people trampling on them to work it. That's a form of making it into leather as well, if they left it enough time that it becomes leather or partial leather. Now I saw one commentary that means it's 8,000 amos, so that people walked on it that amount on top of it. So there was some significant walking on top of all of those leathers. They now went from being a skin to a leather. In that situation, now they are going to be tahorim. Tahorim means that they are no longer going to be treated like basar, that they can transmit tuma. They are going to not be able to transmit tuma. They won't be able to be treated like basar anymore by themselves. Chutz me'or ha'adam, the exception is, even if you work it and make it into leather, when it comes to the skin of a person on a rabbinic level, we are going to still treat the skin of a person, even if it's leatherized, don't know if that's a word or not, but even if it's been leatherized, we're still going to treat that like it is basar and it will be metame. So far we've had two opinions when it comes to the eight shratzim, creepy crawly creatures that are listed in Vayikra Yud Aleph. The first opinion was the Tanakama. We break it out four and four. Then we add the list of four, the hedgehog, the chameleon, the lizard, and the snail. Those are all on the list that we're going to treat their skin like meat, and even if it's just skin, it's going to be metame as long as we had the requisite amount. And then we had a Rabbi Yehuda who switched the leta'a to be like the other four, the chulda, etc. So we have three that are going to be metame like meat. And now we have the third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer, Shmona, Shratzim, Yeshlam, Oras. We have all of the Shratzim, all eight of them, they have skins, which means all of them are going to be tar. They are not going to be treated like basar. They're not going to be treated like meat. In other words, they are not going to transfer the tumas nevelos, and the tumas ochlim whatsoever. All the eight of them are going to be treated together and not become metame in order to transfer the two types of tuma. Mishnah Gimel is building on what we've seen previously, and in a nutshell, we have said that if skin is detached from an animal, then it is not treated like the meat of the animal. That's for purposes of tumas ochlim and tumas nevela, which means that the skin itself, unless it fits into an exception to the rule that we treat it like meat, but other than that, we'll leave that aside. The skin itself does not receive tuma and does not give tuma. However, meat, the meat itself, if it is meat from an avela, it transfers tuma to something that is tahor, and also it receives tuma, even if it's tahor. For example, it's not from an avela, it had a proper shkit on it, it's meat that is tahor, but if something tame touches it, it will receive the tuma. What we are going to talk about nowadays, because we have this big distinction between skin that has been detached, and when it is attached still, when skin is attached, we treat it like the meat. It can still be could be conductive of tuma through the skin to the meat and the meat to the skin, which means that if we have the skin that is attached still to the meat, if the meat is a nevela underneath, then if somebody who's tahor or a food that is tahor touches the skin, it is going to become tame. And if the meat underneath is not tame, it's not a nevela, but it is tahor, and somebody comes and touches the skin that is still attached, then that person that is tame is indeed going to make that meat tame through the skin. But how about if you're right now in the process of skinning the skin off? Which bucket are we going to treat it like? Are we going to treat the skin? For example, if you touch the skin, part of it has been removed, and you touch that part that's been removed, are we going to treat that like skin, and it's not going to be conducive of the tuma in and out? Or are we going to treat it still like the meat? And if the meat is tame, it can transfer tuma out, and if it's tahor, that skin can transfer tuma in. So what's the status of the skin when it's in the process of being removed, and you touch part that has been detached already, but it's still attached to the skin that is attached to the meat. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Hamapshit bebehemo v'chayah, is somebody who is skinning either a domesticated animal or non-domesticated animal, b'tahor v'tmeya, whether it is a kosher animal or a treif animal, b'dako v'gasa, whether it is a small animal or a large animal. Now we're going to divide up, because what is the reason you're skinning it, what does it matter? Because you're going to skin it differently based on your need for the skin. So if you are skinning it l'shatiach, to use the skin as an item to spread out. For example, you want to use it as a rug on your floor, or as a tablecloth on your table, or as a bedspread on your bed, a sheet on your bed. You need a long piece of it. You need to get as much of that skin off as possible. So what you're going to do is you're going to start skinning it from the top of the animal, from the head area, and you're going to go over the back of it, and you're going to remove from the body of it, but for starting from the head and backwards from the top of the animal, and you're going to remove the sides as well as you go down. So when it comes to l'shatiach, if you're going to be trying to remove the animal skin from the head going backward, Kedei achiza, the amount is the amount that you could need to hold it literally. That's two tefachim. The concept here is, when is the skin considered attached and not attached? If the skin is considered a shomer is that it is there to protect the animal still, to protect the meat, then it's considered part of the body itself. It's considered part of the meat, or a yad. We're now talking about a yad, a handle, which means, is it something that you can carry the meat or move the meat with? So if you've already detached kedei achiz, the amount that you could hold on to kedei achiza is the two tefachim, so that is considered now detached, that the kedei achiza, and which means is, if somebody would touch that skinned area that is now two tefachim, that has been detached, then we go through that analysis again. It can be considered as if you're just touching the skin and not touching the animal underneath. And accordingly, the skin is not something, even if it's attached to a nevela, it's not going to transfer tumah to somebody or something tar that is touching it. And it's also not going to be a recipient of tumah if it's attached to an animal that is tahor, that is not a nevela, it's not tame. It will also not transfer tumah to the animal, because a kedei achiza, the two tefachim amount, has been skinned already, and that's the part of the skin that is being touched. On the other hand, if you are skinning the animal lechemes, which means that you want to use the skin for a skin canteen, chemes is made from a skin, and you hold liquids in it. For example, you'll hold your water, your wine in it. It's like a canteen, a skin canteen. So here you're not going to be skinning it from the top of the head going backward over the back of the animal, but you're going to start from underneath, and you're going to start from the neck area of the animal, and you're going to go underneath the animal until you get to the legs. And the key area that you really want is the chest area. That's the chest area is the most important area. It's the most difficult to remove as well. So the Mishnah says, Ulechemes, if you are skinning from the neck going downward, ad sheyapshit et hachazeh, once you remove that chazeh area, the chest area, then the skin is considered detached. It's not considered part of the meat anymore. And accordingly, if somebody would touch the detached skin, again, it won't be conducive. It won't conduct the tumah in and out. But if you removed less than that, so you started from the top, from the neck area, and you removed some but not the full chest area, then it would be considered part of the animal. And if the animal is a nevela, then whatever's touching that skin part, even if it's detached, but it's not been detached fully from the chest area, then there will be transference of tumah out and transference of tumah in if the animal is still not an avela. It's not tame, it's tahor, but still, because the skin has not been detached enough, there will be tumah transferred in if something tame touches the skin that's been detached. Now, if we're continuing to talk about if you want the skin for purposes of the skin canteen, typically you would skin the animal underneath from top to bottom. But if hamargil, it's a situation that instead of starting at the neck area and peeling the skin downward under the animal, you started with the legs and you're peeling it all the way from the legs all the way up to the chest. So again, here you would have to remove the entire amount, because you want, the key is the chest area. So even if you started to the legs, it's not going to be detached, considered halakhically detached, until you remove the chest. So you have to remove all the legs, the whole underbody, and also the chest as well. And until that happens, it's considered a chibur. It's considered as if it's a attached still to the animal and would indeed be conducive. It will conduct tuma in and out. So amargil, somebody wants that skin canteen, but he's starting to skin it from the legs. Kulo chibor, the entire thing is a chibor, is attached. The tuma for purpose of tuma and li tame, to make the tahor meat tame. So if it's tahor meat and something tame touches the skin that's been detached, but it hasn't been fully detached all the way up, including the chest, then it will make the meat tame, ulitame. And that means that if it is an avela, then somebody touches the skin that hasn't been fully detached, it will make that tahor person or food that touches the skin, it will make that tameh. Continuing in the same vein, when it comes to somebody who wants the skin for a skin canteen and is starting with the legs and going up. So we said that going up all the way, you have to remove the chest area of the skin in order to be considered detached. But truth be told, you're going to want more than that. You're going to want the skin from the neck area as well. So how about that neck area? Or sha'al hatzavar, if you haven't detached that yet. So is this considered that if somebody would touch the detached skin, that it hasn't been removed? Because you also want the skin from that area of the neck. Or sha'al hatzavar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri amar, einor chibur. That is not considered to be a chibur. What he's saying here is that, truth be told, that the key is that you have removed the chest area. And once you've removed the chest area, that is considered that the skin has been detached already. So that is sufficient for the skin to be considered independent and will not be conducive of the tummy in and out. However, Chachamim disagree, because you're going to want that skin as well. You're going to want that neck skin. V'chachamim omrim chibur achiapshi, that kula, it's still considered attached until you remove the entire thing, including the neck area. So if somebody would touch the skin, even though it's been fully detached from the chest area, we're talking again when you're moving from the legs upward, and it could be even when you've detached some of the neck area, but not all of it, it is still considered, according to Chachami, a chibur. It's still considered attached. And if somebody tame would touch the skin area, even though it's been detached, then somebody tame would make the meat, if it's tahor, would make the meat tame. And if somebody is tahor that touches the skin and the meat is from a nevela, would make that person or food that's touching that skin, they would make that tame. Mishnah Dalet is continuing the concept of the prior Mishnah. We're dealing with a nevela, an animal that did not have a kosher shechita. So it's a nevela, it is tame. And we're discussing touching its skin. So typically when you touch a skin, the skin itself, because it's detached, once it's detached, it's not going to convey tuma. But in our situation, there is a kazayas of meat from the nevela that is attached to the skin. So if you touch that meat directly, it's a kazayas of tame meat. Somebody who is tahor or something that's tahor will receive tuma from it, but that's not the exact scenario. We're going to talk about if somebody touches it indirectly as follows. Or sheyesh alav kezayis basar. If we have this skin and the skin has been skinned off of the nevela, but it has attached from the nevela a kezayis of meat. Hanogeya bitziv hayotze mimenu. If somebody touches a tziv, which is a thin shred of meat, so it's not considered meat in of itself because it's so thin, it's too insignificant, but somebody touches that thin shred, and via that, he is touching that kezayis of the nevela. So that thin shred is what is called halachically a yad, literally a handle, and because he's touching a yad of something that's tameh, the person who is tahor will receive the tumor from that nevela. And in addition, if he touches ubisara shekinegdo, in those, both of those situations, they're going to be tame. What's the sara shekinegdo? So the person is touching a thin hair. So there's a piece of hair that is coming out of the skin, and on the opposite side of that hair is that kazayas of the nevela. So via that hair, which is considered a shomer, it's like a protector, because the skin with the hair on top of it is protecting that meat, so it's a shomer. So if somebody touches either a yad or a shomer of something that's tame, the tumah indeed will transfer. So in this situation, somebody who is tahor is touching that hair, and that hair is in the skin, which is opposite, that the other side is the kezias of the nevela, that person will become tameh. Continuing, next scenario, hayu alav kishnei chatzai zeisim. In our situation now, it's not that there's one full kezias of meat on the side of the nevela that is on the side of the skin, but it's divided into two half kezaisim, so half a kezais and a half a kezais, but they're both attached to the same skin. Mitame bimasa. So in this situation, if somebody would touch that, if somebody would carry that skin, and that skin has a half a kezias and a half a kezias, because you're carrying the whole thing at once, that is going to transfer tumah, because that's half a kezias of a nevela, half a kezias here, because he's carrying it, it's combining to a kezias, he's carrying tumah, the person carrying it will receive tumas masa. The lo b'maga, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yishmael says, but if the person touches, if you're touching a half a kezias and a half a kezias, even if you're touching them both at the same time, but you're touching them with different parts of your body, you can't touch a half a kezias and a half a kezias with the exact same part of your body. So accordingly, that is not going to be aggregated together to have one full kezias that will transfer the tumah, the nevela, to the person. So tumas masa, if you're carrying that skin with two half a kezaisim on it, then that will be tumas masa. But touching the half a kezaisim and half a kezaisim, we don't aggregate them together. So there will be no transfer of tumah via tumas maga, touching tumah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Rabbi Akiva is of the view that there is no tumah transfer to the person, even in the situation that he is carrying. Certainly agrees with Rabbi Shmuel, the maga, there's no tumah for maga, touching half a kezias and half a kezias, but even carrying that skin with the two half kezaisim, Rabbi Akiva is of the view that there's no tumah, and we will explain his rationale shortly. Umodi Rabbi Akiva b'shnei chatzai zeisim shetchavan b'keisam v'hisitan shutami. Rabbi Akiva does agree in the following situation, not that you have a half a kezias and a half a kezias attached to the skin, but they are detached from the skin. And to attach them, somebody stuck a piece of wood, for example, a toothpick. Takes a toothpick, sticks half a kezias on one side and half a kezias on the other side. That toothpick will aggregate the half a kezias and a half a kezias to be a full kezias. And in this situation, Rabbi Akiva agrees that if you attach them, behesetan, and you move them, that's like carrying them. So there would be a tumah, there would be a tumas masa in that situation. So Rabbi Akiva does agree, detached, but attached through a toothpick, and you move them, then you will be tame. So mibnei ma Rabbi Akiva metaher boor. So why does Rabbi Akiva say when they are both attached via the skin? So you have a half a kezias and half a kezias on the skin. Why is that skin not aggregating them together, similar to the toothpick? If Rabbi Akiva says that the toothpick connects them, why doesn't the skin connect a half a kezias and half a kezias together as well? And the Mishnah answers, Mibnei Sha'or Mevatlan, because when they are attached to the skin nullifies each of them separately. So they are butl to the skin. They are each one is insignificant. It's only half a kezias and half a kezias, and each one is independently nullified to the skin. Accordingly, they never become aggregated together, in contrast to the toothpick that does attach them, does aggregate them, and they don't become nullified to a toothpick. And accordingly, when they're toothpicked together and somebody moves them, there would be tumas masa, but when they are just attached to the skin, half a kezias and half a kezias, they are nullified, and even somebody who would carry it, according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be no tumas masa. Mishnah Hay discusses the tumah as it relates to bones, and in particular bones that have marrow inside of them. And the parallel here is that marrow is actually considered to be the meat on the inside. So for example, if we have the bones from a nevela, the bone itself is not going to be metame, but the meat inside of it, the marrow inside, is metame. So that's actually the connection that we have between this Mishnah and the prior Mishnah when we talked about a shomer. We have a shomer, there's a skin that acts as the shomer, the protector on top of the meat underneath of it, and the situation of when you touch the shomer on top, do you become tameh or not? If, for example, the meat is from a nevela, so we're going to continue that theme in talking about bones, and the bone is the shomer of the marrow which is underneath. So Mishnah Hay says as follows, we're going to divide it between different types of bones depending on where the bone came from. Does the bone itself transfer tuma or not? So when it comes to a kolis hames, the kolis hamukdashim, a kolis is a type of bone that has marrow inside of it. So if it came from a mesa, human body, somebody who passed away, and kolis, a bone that has marrow inside of it from a korban. So these are going to be a little bit different in that the bones themselves, even if they didn't have marrow inside of them, the bones themselves can become tame or tameim. And accordingly, hanogeya bahen, if somebody touches these bones, bein stumin, bein nekuvim, whether they are closed up. In other words, you cannot access the marrow underneath because it's a fully encapsulated bone, or bein nekuvim, or if there is a hole, even the smallest of a hole, you can access the marrow. It doesn't matter. Either way, tame, the person who touches it, is going to become tame because the bone itself is tame. On the other hand, then we have a kolis nevela v'kolis hasheretz. When we have a bone that has marrow inside of it and it comes from a nevela, so the bone itself is not going to become tame based on sukim, or if we have the kolis of the sheretz, that's the bone from a sheretz, one of the eight different creepy crawly animals that are discussed in Sefer Vayikra. So now we have the bone and we have a marrow in it. Here, the bones themselves are not mitame. That's based on sukim and discussing the nevela and the sheretz. But when they have marrow inside of them, that marrow can be mitame. That marrow is like meat, and the meat of a nevela, the meat of a sheretz is tame. So here it's going to matter, is it fully encapsulated or not? Hanogea behem sumim. If somebody touches the bone on the outside and it's closed up, there's no way to access the meat on the inside, despite the fact that the bone is a shomer. It's a protector of the meat on the inside, but because you can't access the meat, the bone cannot make you tame. Why is that? Because the bone can only transfer tumah as much as the meat on the inside, and the meat on the inside is not accessible, so it cannot transfer tumah from the inside, so to the bone itself. So when it's assuming, when it is closed up, fully closed, and there's no access to the marrow underneath, that's the meat that is tameh, then it's going to be tahor. The person who touches the bone itself, which is the shomer, is still going to be tahor. On the other hand, nikuvim kolshu, if there is a hole in the bone and the meat underneath, the marrow is accessible, even if it's the smallest of holes in the bone, but it is still accessible because you could stick a hair in and you could be touching the marrow via that hair. So accordingly, when there is a hole, mitami b'mag, even if somebody just touches the bone on the outside, that bone is a shomer. And just like somebody, if they would touch the meat on the inside through that hair, they would become tameim, tumas maga. So too, when somebody touches the bone that has a hole in it, they would be mitami b'maga. Through that touching, they would become tame. And now the Mishnah continues and says, minayin sha'af b'masa. How would we know that even if somebody carried that bone, as long as it has a hole in it, that the person would become tame? This isn't tumas maga, the tuma from touching a nevela, but it's the tuma of masa of carrying that nevela. Talmud Lomar, we have a pasuk that tells us in Vayikra, v'hanogea, and then later on in the pasuk, it says v'hanose, somebody who touches and somebody who carries. And now we're learning back and forth that when the tuma of maga applies, so to the tuma of carrying applies. Et shabali klal maga, bali klal masa. Somebody who can become tame via maga, touching, can also become tame via carrying. So when we have this bone that has a hole in it, just like when you touch the outside, you can become tame via touching it, so too, that's when you touch the meat itself with that hair, for example. So too, when you would carry it, as long as it has a hole in it, you would become tame as well. That's tumas masa from carrying it. However, lo balichlal maga, lo balichlal masa. If you cannot become tame via touching, that's talking about when the marrow is in an enclosed bone. So touching the outside of the bone cannot make you tame. Same thing applies when you carry it. Because it's fully enclosed, you cannot become tame as well. Mishnah Vav continues discussing when we have a dead sheretz that we saw in the prior Mishnah. There are eight shratzim creepy crawling creatures discussed in Sefer Vayikra that are Temeim when they are dead, and some of them are egg-bearing. So what happens when we have an embryo inside of an egg? That embryo has died, and somebody touches the egg on the outside. So as we saw before, the egg is a shomer, but the shomer touching the egg cannot be metame somebody if it's totally enclosed. The only time it can be metame somebody is if there is a puncture in the egg. Here would be the eggshell. And if there's that hole, even if it's a tiny hole, but you can access it even with a hair to touch the sheretz on the inside, in that situation, because the sheretz can make somebody tame on the outside, so too the shomer, that's the eggshell, if somebody touches just the eggshell, that will cause the person to become tame as well. So the Mishnah says as follows, Beitzas ha-sheretz ha-merukemes. Somebody has an egg, and it has a sheretz that is dead on the inside, but that embryo has formed, but it's dead. If somebody touches the outside of the shell and there are no holes in it, it's tahora. It is going to be tahora. It's not going to be transferring the tuma of the sheretz that is enclosed on the inside of the egg. On the other hand, nikva kolshu, if there's any hole that is in that eggshell, even the smallest, because somebody can access the eggshell through that hole, even with a hair. So if somebody would touch the sheretz on the inside with a hair, the person would become tame. So too, if somebody even just touches the shomer on the outside, touches that egg on the outside, tamea, that person will become tame as well. And now we're going to talk about a somewhat related situation. We have an achbar. An achbar is a mouse. And the achbar is one of the eight shratzim as well, that when they are dead, they are tameim. So achbar shechetzio basar v'chetzio adama, they had a certain unique type of mouse that it would develop from the ground, and it turned and metamorphosed into meat over time. So this mouse, achbar shechetzio basar v'chetzio adama, at this point right now, it's dead, but half of it has turned into meat, half of it is meat, and half of it is still ground. And the Mishnah says, Hanogea babasar, if somebody would touch the meat part of it, tame, that person would be tame because he's touching the meat of a sheretz that is dead. But if somebody would touch ba'adama on the earth side of it, that is not yet formed into meat, it's going to be tahor. You haven't touched the meat of a sheretz. Accordingly, there's going to be no tumah that's transferred. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer afan ogea ba'adama shekeneged abasar tame. Even somebody who touches the adama, and here he means even though you touch the adama, the earth side, but it would have turned into meat over time had it developed further. Accordingly, it is treated as the meat of a sheretz, and it is tame, the person who touches it, even touching the earth side, is indeed going to be transferred the tumah of the meat of a sheretz. So even though he touched the adama, it's as if he touched the meat of the sheretz and he's tame. Mishnah Zayin is a fairly complicated Mishnah and it requires a little bit of an introduction. We're going to talk about tumas ochlim, and in order to be metame something, when we're talking about tumas ochlim, there are actually two conditions. Number one, it has to be ochel. If it's not ochel, if it's not food, it's not going to be mekabel tumas ochlim. And in addition, even assuming that it's food, before it can become tame, for example, that it touches a sheretz or something like that, it has to be mukhshar lekabel tuma. That means it has to be touched by one of seven liquids, like water and blood and the like. And once it's mukhshar lekabel tuma, thereafterward, if that ochel touches something that's tame, it becomes tame. So that's introduction number one. Introduction number two is just a layout of the Mishnah. We're going to see three different scenarios. Scenario number one is that we're going to have a live animal, but it has either meat or an aver dangling from it. Meat is just meat, and aver is defined halachically as having not only meat, but a bone and sinew as well. So that's going to be scenario number one. It's going to be having meat or an aver dangling from a live animal. And number two situation is that animal that had those items dangling was shechted, had a proper shechita. Scenario number three is that it did not have a proper shechita, but that it died. And we're going to have to look at the status of the aver and the meat that are dangling from it. So we're going to start out from the beginning. Mishnah Zayin, ha'aver, the habasar hamiduldalin bebehema. We have an aver, which is a limb, or it's not both, it's a limb or meat, and they are dangling from an animal. They are still attached, but there is no tumah accordingly if it's still attached. It's not yet aver min achai. Mitamim tumas ochlim bimekoman utsrichim hechsher. This is not saying yet that it's considered meat. It's still attached. Even though it's dangling, it's still attached to the animal. Accordingly, what this is saying is if the Jew decides that he's going to feed this dangling bus or this meat or this aver to a non-Jew, then once he decides that, even though it's still dangling there, it's still quasi-attached, that is going to have the status of being basar, being ochel. It's going to be considered food. And accordingly, utsrichim hechsher, once it is mukhsha, once it comes in contact with one of the seven liquids, and thereafterward it comes into contact with something that's tame, it is going to become tame. So this is case number one. We have a dangling piece of meat or a dangling aver still attached. So it's not considered aver minachai yet. It's not considered basar minachai yet. It's still considered attached. Only once the Jew decides, I'm going to feed this to a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew can't eat it yet because the non-Jew would be violating the prohibition of basar minachai or aver minachai. But once the Jew decides he's going to be feeding it to a non-Jew, it has the status of an ochel. If it becomes mukhsha Kabal Tumah, then thereafterward and touches Tumah, then it will be Tame. That is Tumas Ochlim. That is scenario number one. Scenario number two now is we take that animal that has the dangling limb or meat, Nishchata Behema, and it is Shechted. So now at this point, still that meat or that aver is not considered aver min hachai. It's not considered nevela meat. Why isn't it considered aver min hachai? Because it didn't come off when the animal was alive. It was attached. We had a shchita. It's not considered a nevela either. There's no tumah yet, but it is considered food at this point after the shchita, because we have it dangling there. It's considered food. A Jew can't eat it. The shchita doesn't help him because it was somewhat detached, so the shchita is not going to be helpful, but it's considered food. And accordingly, says Rabbi Meir, it is also mukhsha lekabel tumah because of the shchita. The shchita blood came out, and according to Rabbi Meir, that blood coming out is machshir, that piece of meat in addition, or that aver in addition, and accordingly, it is in the situation of Tumas Ochlim, that if a sheretz or some other tumah touched it, it would be mikabel tumah. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo chuchsheru. Rabbi Shimon agrees that when you do the shchita, it is considered ochel at that point, but it doesn't fulfill the second requirement of Tumas Ochlim. The shchita, according to Rabbi Shimon, isn't machshir the kabel tumah because it's the wrong type of blood. And accordingly, Rabbi Shimon says lo chuchshu, it's food, but it's not been mukhshar lekabel tumah yet. Accordingly, if tumah touches it, it's not going to become tame. It has to be mukhshar first. That is scenario number two. Scenario number three is mesa habeima. We had that animal, and it had this either the meat that was dangling or it had the aver that was dangling, and the animal dies. There is a concept discussed in the Gemara in Chulin that misa ose nipul. It's based on a pasuk that when an animal dies, as opposed to shchita, it doesn't work for shchita, but this is a mechanism that works specifically when an animal passes away, that we look at it as prior to the death of that animal, any dangling meat or aver falls off. This is very significant. It's viewed as being detached right before death, and accordingly, this is going to be basar that has been part of a chai. It's aver min achai, basar min achai, because it fell off from the live animal right before the animal passed away. Accordingly, mesa habeima, if this animal died with those items hanging off, when it comes to habasar, that basar, that meat, it came off right before the death, is considered food. A Jew cannot eat it. There was no proper shchita on it. Habasar, tzarich hechsher, accordingly, it is considered food, but it is not considered mukhsha lekabel tumah. This is even according to Rabbi Meir, who said the shchita is effective to make it mukhsha lekabel tumah. In this situation, there was no shchita, there was no blood that came out. Accordingly, even Rabbi Meir would agree when we have a death of the animal, because we say misa osanipol, that we look at it as if that meat fell off before the death. Accordingly, it is food, but it's not mukhsha lekabel tumah. Continuing, ha'aver, when it comes to death, the animal died. What happens with the aver that was dangling there? So that is considered, because we say misa osanipol, as if it fell off from the live animal before the death, that is going to be aver min achai. That is an aver. That is a limb that fell off from a live animal right before death because of misa o sanif. Well, ha-aver mitame mishum aver min achai. Aver min achai has the status of an avela. It causes other things to be tame. Accordingly, this aver is considered aver min achai. A non-Jew cannot eat it as well. The eno mitame mishum aver nevela divrei Rebbe Meir. Again, because we say misa o sanif, well, it fell off before death, it came from a live animal, it didn't come from a dead animal, that would be a nevela. So it's not mitame like a nevela would. There's a difference between the tomb of an aver or min achai, a minor difference, which we won't go into, but there's a minor difference between the tomb of an aver min achai, which this is, and the tomb of a nevela, which this is not. And Rabbi Shimon Metaher, Rabbi Shimon is Metaher. He says that it is clean, it's not a problem. What is Rabbi Shimon going on? So Rabbi Shimon is actually going on two pieces of our Mishnah. We're going to start reading from the beginning of the Mishnah, explain what does Rabbi Shimon say, that it is tahor. So we're going to start out at the beginning of the Mishnah again. We're not going to read the whole thing, but just the parts that we need. Ha'ever, v'habasar, ha'midul dalim behema. When we have that, aver, or we have the basar that are dangling from the animal, but they are attached still. We said that if the Jew decides to feed it to a non-Jew, it does take on the status of being food. It's only when he decides to feed it to a non-Jew, it's considered food for the non-Jew. And accordingly, once it's considered food, then it gets into the parsha of Tumas Ochlim, and then it has to be Mukhsha Lekabel Tuma as well. That is what Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with. Rabbi Shimon says, as long as it's attached, it is not food. And you can't tell me because the Jew decides to feed it to a non-Jew, it's automatically, magically considered to be food, because the fact is the non-Jew is not allowed to eat it, because that would be aver or basar that comes from a live animal. That's aver min achai or basar min achai. Accordingly, Rabbi Shimon is telling us it's mitah here. It is pure, it is clean, it doesn't have the status of food. So we never get into the shayma of tumas ochlim because it cannot become mukhshar kabal tumah, it cannot become tami whatsoever. So that is what Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with. And Rabbi Shimon is also disagreeing on the last part of the Mishnah where we say mesa habehema, that if this is the third scenario, when the animal died, habasar tzarech hechsher, we said that the meat, when the animal dies because of misa osanipol, it says effectively that the meat was detached right before death, and we look at it as meat again, we look at it as food, habasar tzarech hechsher. This also, Mesa Behema Habasar Tzarech, we are considering it when there was a death and there was meat that was dangling, we look at it as food and it would be also require Hechsher at that point. Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with that as well. You can't tell me that in this third scenario, when you had this meat that was dangling and the animal died, that because of Misa Osanipol is considered meat, it's considered food. That's not considered food at all, because in that situation as well, the non-Jew, for the same reason that he disagrees with the first part of the Mishnah, he disagrees with this, that the non-Jew is not permitted to eat that meat because it's basar that came from a live animal. It's basar min hachai, so it's not, he's not allowed to eat it, so we don't consider it food at all. It is metaher, it cannot become, it's not in the parsha of Tumas Ochlim because it is not ochel at all, and accordingly that's Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that as well. It cannot become tame because it's not even considered food, even for the non-Jew. Mishnah Ches is a follow-up of the prior Mishnah, but whereas Mishnah Zayin discussed animals, now we're going to talk about humans. And whereas in the prior Mishnah we had three scenarios, the first one being when we have either meat or an aver that are dangling from an animal, we're going to have that same scenario in Mishnah Ches talking about people. We're going to skip the second scenario that we had in Mishnah Zayin talking about shechita of animals. There is no shechita of people, but we will have similar to the third scenario, just like we talked about if an animal passes away, we're going to talk about if a person passes away when he has that meat or that aver dangling. So Mishnah Ches says as follows, scenario number one, ha'aver, v'habasar ha'medul dalin ba'adam tahorim. If we have from a person is alive, and there is either a limb or meat that are, for the most part, detached, but they are dangling from the person, tehorim, because they are still attached, there's no tumas mace, there's no tuma that comes from that meat or that aver. Still attached, dangling, but still attached, no tuma from there. However, and this is going to be like the third scenario we saw in the prior Mishnah, mace ha'adam, If that person dies and he still has that meat or that aver dangling from him, we apply the concept that we saw in the prior Mishnah of Misa Osenipol, that when somebody, and we've talked about an animal, now we're talking about a person passes away and has something dangling, the halacha tells us, based on Apkosuk, that that item, that dangling item, is viewed as having been detached from right before the death. That's what Misa Osenipol, the death causes it to fall off, and it means right before the death. And accordingly, now we're going to divide up between the meat that was dangling and the aver that was dangling. Meis Adam, if the person now passes away and he has meat dangling, habasar tahor, because it detached before death, so it is basar min hachai. Basar min hachai does not become tame, it is tahor. So that's because of Misa Osenipol. It affects it. It effectuates the falling off before death. And because the meat came off before death, it is Tahor, not Tame. On the other hand, when it comes to Ha'ever, the Aver that was dangling there, because Misa Osenipol, we view it as if that Aver fell off right before the death. And that is Aver Minachai, that is Mitame. So Ha'ever Mitame Mishum Aver Minachai. So that limb, we view it because of Miso Sanipol, it fell off before, it's Aver Minachai, it's Mitame, as if it is Aver Minachai, that is a tumor. Ve'eno Mitame Mishum Aver Minhame, Steve Rebbe Meir. However, it's not Mitame as if it was an Aver that fell off from a mace, because we said it fell off when it was still alive. We don't view it as it fell off when it was dead. Rabbi Shimon Metayer. And Rabbi Shimon says it's tzar. What's going on here? So there's something very different going on than meets the eye here. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon agree when it comes to the fundamentals of the limb that was an aver, and the person passed away when that aver was dangling. They both say when it comes to that aver min hachai, because we apply Misa Osenipol, we view it as that dangling aver, that limb fell off before death, it's mitame, it's tame, it's tame. That is both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. They both agree to that. The machlokus here is when we have an aver and things fell off of that aver itself. So we have this limb, and then, for example, some meat fell off that limb, or some meat or some bone fell off of that limb. So we have aver, we have a limb, and it's detached. And it's detached, and we'll see, does it detach when it was alive or when the person was dead? And then something detached from that limb. So it goes like this. They both agree. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon agree when it comes to aver min hachai, like we're talking about in our Mishnah, that it's tameh. When it comes to meat or bone that separates from aver min hachai, they both agree here that it's tahar. Aver min hachai, that is tame, but when items separate from that limb, for example, some meat falls off of it or some bone falls off of it, that is a second generation down, that's going to be tahar. Their machlokis is in a situation where we have aver min hames. Aver min hames, that means that's an aver that came off of a dead person, and then from that aver departs second generation some meat or some bone. So we have aver not min hachai, we have aver min hames, and then from that aver now some either meat or bone comes off from that. And this is the machlokes. And here Rabbi Meir says that that meat or that bone is tameh. And Rabbi Shimon, and this is what he says at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Metaher, that because it's second generation, it's aver, it's basar or etzem, it's talking about meat or bone that came off of an aver min hamei, second generation down, that is going to be tahor, not only when it is separated second generation down from aver min hachai, but also aver min hamei, second generation down, but Rabbi Shimon, that is going to be tahor.